This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Will someone send a handsome picture of me on Twitter of me wearing the shirt so I can send it to the D.C. Defenders? Here, I'll give you a second. Ready? 3, 2. Beautiful. Welcome to ENN, which today, of course, you know who it's brought to you by, our friends at All American Ford. You can go shop them. They're the biggest and best group in the Northeast. Go to allamericanford.net. All American Ford, they have the largest selection, best prices. They're in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. And we'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Why trying to be a D?
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Gladiator is 34, 35. Is
Oscars,
Titanic,
I get it.
Another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36. Saving Private Ryan, 37.
And what's this drop I've been seeing? It says Peter hits the sign during commercial.
I refuse to settle for anything less than the best, and that's why I'm proud.
That was me pitching.
Kind of hear it.
While Michael was in mid-commercial, Don and I were playing our pitching game. Is that why Michael had to fix that part? Did I ruin his commercial? Okay.
I refuse to settle for anything less than the best, and that's why I'm proud.
It sounded like a slap.
I do the best I can.
Being a Yankee fan will make you feel good.
That's a good point. Now.
You are a gutless puke.
Before we get to the New York Knicks, who we have been discussing all day, one thing we haven't mentioned, Kobe Bryant's public memorial has been officially set. February 24th at the Staples Center, according to the Los Angeles Times, will be the public memorial for Kobe Bryant and the 8 others who were killed in last month's helicopter crash. The event will cap, of course, the tributes that have been happening since January 26th. And last week, Mayor Garcetti said that a memorial was in the works. So this will be the public memorial. Now, the Staples Center has hosted public memorials before. They held the memorial for Michael Jackson and last year for Nipsey Hussle. And this is where they will have. I'm guessing that will still be a very hard ticket to get. Holds 18,000. That's going to be tough to get into.
Did you see all the people that left the things outside the Staples Center, which was where they came to pay their respects, that the Lakers were going to throw all that away? And Vanessa Bryant asked them that they send everything to her and had to archive every single thing. Everything that was left.
How many things do you think were left?
Had to be tens of thousands, right? She wanted it archived, and if there was a name attached to it, that the person that left it.
Wow.
There were boxes and boxes of basketballs because everybody left a basketball. It's incredible.
The only thing I've ever done similar to that was a friend of mine in college, a guy named Dave Ellis, from New Jersey, wonderful kid, who actually started, and I believe what was the first ever hip-hop blog. He started in high school in the late 90s, died in a fire at Maryland. It was horrible. It was the first young death. Well, not the first. There was one I remember from middle school. First death of someone I was close with. And he was such a hip-hop person, and so people made a makeshift tribute outside of his house that burned down. And the thing that I brought that I thought made sense in that case was a copy of the Paid in Full album by Eric B. and Rakim. It's one of the most, like, you know, quintessential, true hip-hop albums. So I just left a copy of the vinyl there. But I'm guessing if I were to do something like that for Kobe, I can see why people would bring a basketball or maybe just leave a note, flowers. It's a lot to do, though. It's a lot of work.
Now, I was talking to Diana Munson at the Munson dinner, and she said she's going to give it some time. She's going to reach out to her. She said it's tough, though. She said when she first – she didn't tell us this on the air. When she first heard about it, she just broke down and started crying because it opened up so many wounds. And she said you really – things get a little better, but you never get over it. She said this is a lifetime thing that you're going to have to deal with. And she said the best thing for her is her children because she has to get up every single day and take care of them. She said that's what kept me going. She said if you don't have your children, she says you might not want to go on.
Well, you know – it's interesting. I think one thing that we didn't talk about a lot was the fact that one of the reasons this hit America so hard, you know, the reason I think America stopped on a dime was not only that Kobe's beloved and not only that his daughter was with him and the shock of it all, but I do think that it reopened everyone's trauma. Everyone who's gone through a serious death, I think, was affected more. You know, anyone who has a recent trauma like that, I think, was just deeply affected by it. And I don't think everyone always deals with these things necessarily. So that when you have this public thing, it's like everyone kind of mourns something else that's happened in their life at the same time. Now, Vanessa has become very active on Instagram the last few days. Today, she posted what looks to be, they retired Gianna's jersey.
Right.
And she posted video after video of the retirement ceremony. Looks like 9 different posts on her Instagram page today, including one that's just a picture of the jersey with her name on the back. And it says, "My Gigi, I love you. I miss you. You've taught us all that no act of kindness is ever too small. Mommy is still and will always be so proud of you, Mamacita." And then yesterday posted a picture of Kobe just sitting there, you know, a nice picture, and just wrote, #, the best daddy, miss you so much. #, handsome, #, sweet, #, funny, silly, loving husband. Miss you saying, buongiorno, principessa. Just heartbreaking.
Yep.
But it is sort of, I guess, nice in a weird way, though, to see her expressing a little bit and communicating a little bit.
That's the way she's mourning.
So good for her, though.
Yeah, there's no right way. Nobody could tell her what will make her feel better.
But basketball is going on, and, you know, who would have thought a couple of weeks ago that we'd be so back in the full swing, but we really are. And today, obviously, with the trade deadline, there was a lot going on. The Knicks plan to hire Leon Rose as team president. If you have not heard the show until now, Leon Rose is an interesting catch. He's a CAA agent. Currently represents Karl Anthony Towns, Chris Paul, among others. Formerly was the agent of LeBron James in the early years. Allen Iverson in his later years in Philadelphia was an agent for Carmelo Anthony. And now Adrian Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelburne have confirmed that he will be the team president. Let's hear from Zach Lowe on The Jump talking about the Knicks going with Leon Rose.
They didn't have time to wait around for some of their more preferred candidates, whether it's Masai Ujiri or somebody else. Whoever is going to get that job wants to make this draft pick. This is going to be another high draft pick. It might be the most valuable asset that the Knicks have, and they're going to want to hire the head coach, whoever that ends up being. So there's sort of a timeline expediency thing here. Look, we'll see how he does. I mean, Leon is a good basketball mind. He's very well connected. You've already surely rattled off all the current stars that he represents. But, you know, we'll see. It can't get any worse.
That was what you said earlier.
I mean, really, it can't. It really can't get worse. So you hope that it gets better, and this is a step toward making it better, because it's just rock bottom. Rock bottom. So they have to climb out of a hole. But as I said earlier, this is a good job. You have cap maneuverability. You got a lot of cap space. And you have 7 draft picks over the next 4 years. 2 in each of the next 2 drafts. 2 first-round draft picks in each of the next 2 drafts. That's a lot of capital to deal with. So you can make some moves.
And we'll see. Earlier today, everyone was saying that famed basketball connector and mind Worldwide West was going to be a part of the Knicks also. But Woj said that's not confirmed. Now, he is an agent at CAA with Leon Rose. He's someone who generally handles coaches and college coaches, whereas Rose is involved with players. But we don't know yet that William Wesley is officially a part of this situation.
They must be paying these guys a lot of money, because can you imagine what Leon Rose must make just as a percentage of the contracts he's negotiated?
But you have to imagine for him this is more than money.
Yeah, but money plays a big, you know, if he's making $20 million a year in commission.
He last year was rated the 14th highest paid agent in all of sports in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Number 2 in basketball, guessing behind Rich Paul.
Right.
Now, that wasn't all the Knicks did today. They moved Marcus Morris. And here's Woj talking about the Marcus Morris deal.
It felt like there was a little more to maybe be had in the marketplace. I thought the Clippers would need to give up a little more, given how important Morris was to fitting in there. But they got a first-round pick. They did the right thing. They did the right thing in moving him on. They've got to start, you know, again, getting assets. And, you know, where he is in his career doesn't fit the timeline of what's going to be starting over again with the Knicks. And so, all in all, a good move.
So there you have it. It was a 3-way deal that lands with Marcus Morris in Los Angeles with the Clippers. Isaiah Thomas was also there, but the word is they're going to move on from Isaiah Thomas.
I think it was a deal that had to be made. If you kept Marcus Morris, it would make no sense whatsoever. Get something for him, although it's not a lot. It's the 27th pick in the draft. If the season ended right now, that would be where the Clippers would draft, and it's better than what you got. So you turn nothing, just cap space, into a first-round draft pick. That's good, because he wasn't going to help them. I love the people argue, well, you know, he was such a good influence on the young players. Well, maybe he was, but they still stunk. The team stunk. I mean, influence on Nil Aquino. So how bad would Nil Aquino be? He'd play 2 minutes a game. Good influence on Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox should be in the D-League to be playing all the time. But the Knicks don't want to do that because they don't want to embarrass themselves. Well, this was a lottery pick, and all of a sudden he's in the D-League. But that's where he deserves to be, so he can get some playing time and improve his game. He's salvageable. I don't know if Nil Aquino is.
No, I really think Knox could be a player.
He's young and he's thin. He gets pushed around. He's supposedly a very, very hard worker, but he's not ready. When you draft a kid that out of his freshman year in Kentucky, he's not ready. Guys that are drafted after 1 year, they're special. They're outliers. He's not that special yet at this point. He could be great, but we have not seen anything yet. He's got to grow into his body.
The Warriors have traded D'Angelo Russell to the Timberwolves. They'll get Andrew Wiggins and picks in return. Specifically a 2021 first round pick, top three protected, and a 2021 second round pick, according to Woj. The T-Wolves had really wanted D'Angelo Russell, who they wanted to pair with Karl Anthony Towns. We know that Karl Anthony Towns has not been happy. Now, of course, Karl Anthony Towns has been one of the players that I think people who are trying to see the glass half full with Leon Rose would think maybe it's a possibility. Jersey guy, hasn't been particularly happy in Minnesota.
Has four more years left in his contract.
Is a client of Leon Rose. Only 4 years left?
Yeah, he just signed it. I love this deal for the Warriors, and a lot of people say, why would you take Andrew Wiggins? Well, first of all, it's the first-round draft pick of the Timberwolves. Top three protected. You can get the fourth pick in the draft. I mean, you could have the worst record in the league. You might not get one of the top three picks. Look what happened with the Knicks last year.
Gives them a second
chance.
And
the Timberwolves are going to be awful for a while. They are rebuilding from scratch. That's number one. Number two, what are we going to be doing with D'Angelo Russell once Klay Thompson and Steph Curry come back? What was his position?
No, the position I think he had legitimately was what he just did.
Right.
It was to run the team for, put someone on the floor for fans to watch for half a season. That's really it. I don't know what they ever thought about him.
That's why they're such a good organization. They had some cap room, especially after Durant signs with the Nets. They did a sign and trade. This gave D'Angelo Russell a max contract, and they knew they were going to trade him. He was there for the short haul. They knew they were going to be bad this year. Now, they didn't know they'd be this bad because they didn't know that Steph Curry was going to get hurt. But they played the Nets last night. They lost by, I think, 41 points. And before the game, Steph Curry was shooting for like a half hour. It was like going to watch batting practice. So people that got to the Barclays Center early were watching this guy hoist up three-pointers for a half hour.
And supposedly people got to see a warm embrace between Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Love to see that. I love warm embraces.
Did you see Kevin Durant running the other day?
No, I didn't.
Pretty good trot. Good trot from KD.
Every time out, though, he's like dribbling. You could see he wants to play so badly. He so wants to be on the court.
Hey, listen, good news. Good news, Nets fans. It's already, let me give you the exact number here. Time flies, and before you know it, he'll be back. The Nets are 23 and 27, 50. You're already 50 games in, baby. 32 more, maybe a playoff series, and then you're already thinking about KD.
And KD hasn't played, Michael. That injury was almost 8 months ago.
Yep.
So, of course, he's itching to play.
Yeah, he's got to be rearing.
And it shows you how bad the East is. And so it's not a real climb to get to be a playoff team if you're the Knicks. They're 4 games under 500. They're the seventh seed in the East.
The jump is big. It goes, well, basically, it's actually kind of strange. It's the top six are very strong. It then just falls off an absolute cliff. The Bucks are 43-7. And they're
playing. That's what happens. When you get teams with that good a record, and then Los Angeles and the other, with the Lakers in the other conference, somebody's losing.
Bucks are 43-7. Raptors are 37-14. Celtics are 35-15. The Heat are 34-16. Pacers 31-20. Sixers 31-20. And then it just drops off. So the Nets have 23 wins and the Magic who have 22 wins. Now, speaking of the aforementioned Heat, they made their move to get Andre Iguodala from Memphis. Let's hear from Paul Pierce on The Jump about the Iguodala trade.
This puts them in the mix in the Eastern Conference because you get two defensive-minded guys who have lots of playoff experience. You got leadership, and Miami's, they've been tinkering around the two spot and the four spot pretty much all year. So I really like this move because with the East, it's pretty wide open. Outside of the Milwaukee Bucks, who I think can be vulnerable, this puts Miami in a great position to possibly, you know, get to the conference finals or possibly the finals.
Mm. It's amazing. Pat Riley never stopped.
By the way, they're another team too. They never stop.
Never.
Every year. Like, even, you know, remember when they traded Wade? They traded Wade. They brought back Wade. They're always hanging around and competitive. They're one of those teams.
And they quietly, you know, make those kind of moves. You know, let's get Jimmy Butler.
You know who they are?
Expecting
you know who they are? You know who the Heat are? I'm going to give you the exact comp.
Who?
The Seahawks. Seahawks. Yeah. They're just every year. The structure's there. They get a random free agent that you think is over the hill, but they come there and all of a sudden they're great again. They're just one of those teams. Or Pittsburgh, you know, it's just consistent every single year. Andre Drummond did not seem to want to be traded from Detroit to Cleveland. Here's Drummond.
You said you would prefer to remain here. Is that the way you still feel?
You would know if I changed my mind.
Well, he'll be in Cleveland. The Cavaliers are finalizing a deal, and they'll get Brandon Knight, John Henson, and a second round pick for Andre Drummond. Antonio Brown seems to be on an apology tour. He was on 93.7 The Fan. Where is this? Philadelphia? Is this on the East Coast?
I believe it's Pittsburgh.
I think it's Pittsburgh.
It was back in Pittsburgh. Here's Antonio Brown saying he wants to try to surround himself with the right people.
Everyone got an agenda from what they want to get from me or what they can make off me. So, you know, it's good to be around people and talk to people that don't have no agenda, you know, that can just support your mental health and listen to you. You know, it's not about the material things or money. People need support and love.
He says that people don't treat him like a human being.
Sometimes people, he doesn't act like one.
They pull their phones out. They want autographs. So that could be a little difficult when people see you as an object or opportunity. You know, I'm a human being. So, you know, you just got to treat people like, you know, like they're regular. Like, you know what I mean? Treat people with respect and dignity, not just, you know,
stop this. It's always everybody else.
All right. So the guy who was saying those horrendous things, the police officers, he's preaching to us about treating people with respect.
Yeah.
Take a walk, AB.
Yeah.
He was also asked.
Play story walking.
He was also asked about his anger issues.
I don't really have anger. I just think I'm really bored. You know, football keeps a lot of my focus, and not being able to have that thing to take my energy out on and put my focus towards allow me to be bored, be able to react to things that I normally wouldn't react to. So for the most part, I think that's the case. I want to think it's the case for anger. You know, I'm a blessed guy, man. I got a blessed life. You know, I'm healthy. I don't take it for granted.
Well, according to my calendar, I'm supposed to be interviewing him Monday morning at 9:15. So I'll let you know how this goes.
Is he going to be in studio?
That's correct.
He's going to punch you right in the face.
Well, why would you say that?
Because you have that sort of face. A guy like AB will not like you.
I think Peter can hold his own.
No. He can hold his own. He can't beat up AB.
I didn't say he
Have you ever been punched right in the face?
I said he'd hold his own.
You want me there?
Is it watch my back?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
I would do that.
You'd come in and just kind of stand in the corner?
Yeah. I would dare him to hit me.
What a scene that would be. Can you imagine? I'm doing the interview and
I'm Sully.
You're just hovering in the background,
right.
Kind of lurking.
Right, with a leather coat on.
You could be like the entourages of rappers that come to Hot. There's always someone in the entourage filming the interview themselves with a cell phone.
I'll do that.
Like in case we wrong them, I guess. So they have, I kind of respect it. Like if there's an edit they don't like, they keep the cell phone on.
I'll have a long leather coat on.
And just holding a phone just in case something happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On a selfie stick.
I don't think that ruins the credibility. Because you are a big guy. You're 6 foot five.
6'4".
You're towering over AB.
Tower.
Okay. The NFLPA.
And Don will be protecting me.
Yeah, and then Don, you'll come and stand behind
right
him.
Right there.
All right, cool.
And I'll be filming Michael. Michael filming AB.
You film me in case he hits me.
And you're filming me in case he hits me.
Too. Yeah.
All right, so we're none
and
of us
I step whole in lot of filming going on. For you.
Yeah, we're none of us are scared. We just have a lot of people in place.
No, we're not scared. We're litigious.
Right, we're just being smart, like Scooter Braun.
Quickly developing story, Major League Baseball will issue their ruling on the Red Sox next week.
There's never a week we don't have something to talk about. Never a day, never an hour, never.
Well, good thing tomorrow we'll be talking to some Boston Red Sox.
That's right. Why? We're going to talk to Nathan Eovaldi and Christian Vasquez. We have a big show tomorrow at the Mohegan Sun.
Oh, sure do. Lots of guests galore. Yankees, yeah. Red Sox. Big NFLPA meeting happening tomorrow.
What's happening?
Player representatives and the NFLPA executive committee are going to meet in L.A. to discuss a 10-year deal that would raise the shared revenue for the players from 47 to 48.5%.
At the expense of the schedule.
That's right.
17 games?
You bet.
But then the players don't care that much about health.
Well, they say a vote is unlikely given the strong player opposition to the 17-game schedule.
Well, then there's not going to be a deal.
There probably won't be.
Okay.
Why 17? It's
because it means more money.
They're the worst. They're really the worst. So I don't know if you guys saw this.
You're going to have to speed it up. We've got a big guest.
I'm wrapping up here. I'm wrapping up. Raheem Mostert was on Raheem Mostert, you know, was the running back for the 49ers.
Oh, sure.
Who've been crushing it. I mean, absolutely destroyed the Packers. What was that, 4 touchdowns, 200-some mm-hmm. yards?
Did well in the first half of the Super Bowl.
That's
the
right.
First 3 quarters.
Then they forgot him.
That's right. However, Damian Williams, he's a Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on TV this week on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and during the interview was asked about the jersey exchange that he did after the game with Raheem Mostert. And Jimmy joked about it and was like, hey, you know, your jersey is now a lot more valuable than his jersey. Mm-hmm. You're a Super Bowl champion. And Williams said, it's funny you say that, because my mom was like, where's your jersey at? It's worth a lot more. And on Wednesday night, Raheem Mostert went on Twitter, posted a picture of the jersey, and wrote, contemplating putting this on eBay, but this belongs to you and yours. You did your thing. Hand this down for generations. Proud of you, bro. Much love. Hashtag undrafted RBs. So they did the exchange being like, we're both one and the same. But then you turn around and it's like, well, that's my Super Bowl winning jersey.
You know what stood out to me in that story?
Hmm.
Williams' mom ended a sentence in a preposition.
It really bothers you.
It does.
Wait, but hold on. It's not balanced out by the fact that she appreciates money?
No.
You're not happy about the fact that she was like, get that jersey back, it's worth money? I thought you'd respect that.
Read the exact sentence that she said.
Was there any dangling participles?
She can't understand.
She said it's worth a lot more money than the jersey he gave you.
No, you didn't read it that way.
Mm.
Oh. My mom was like, where's your jersey at?
I'm sorry. That's not right.
You know what?
No. It's Twitter, right?
You could have just stopped, where's your jersey, son?
But she added at.
At. Why would you add at?
And you're a master of the English language.
I mean, grammar teachers are just... The English language is
curled up
playground.
In a fetal position right now.
That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening. I have to wrap. We have our big Oscars preview around the corner, the Oscar Gamble.
Do you know whose birthday it is today?
No.
Babe Ruth would have been 125 if he'd
just taken care of himself.
If he stopped eating those hot dogs and chomping on those cigars, he'd still be with us.
We called it the Oscar Gamble.
All right, Jeffrey Lyons, movie critic extraordinaire, will join us in a moment. We'll break down the Oscars. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, Lyons, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.